Today I want to talk about two concepts, interiorization and exteriorization. To live, you must exteriorize, even though the appeal of being interiorized seems self-protective and appealing. What do I mean by the words interiorization and exteriorization? As you would imagine, the two words, interiorization and exteriorization, are related to inside and outside, to interior and exterior. They are describing the process of movement of one's attention and consciousness. This is about the focus of energy. If you were to be embarrassed in public, you would become more self-conscious. You would become interiorized. Your awareness of the outer world would decrease because you would be focusing inwardly on yourself and on your feelings. Interiorization could be provoked by general fear, fear of exposure, embarrassment, humiliation, and it's an attempt to hide, to protect oneself from being hurt. Think of a human turtle retreating into its shell. To be interior, that is, inside, some protective structure like the amniotic sac for a fetus, the shell of a seed, a husk of an ear of corn, a shell for a peanut, even the skin of a human and the hide of a rhinoceros is natural and normal. However, the bud of a rose inside the protective scales must exteriorize in order to continue to grow and express itself as a rose. With a little bit of practice and a little bit of awareness, you can learn to feel in your body the effects of interiorization. When you put your attention on doing an action, considering a project, or thinking about yourself in regard to another person, if you experience a shrinking feeling, often in the pit of your stomach, this is interiorization. This same scenario can be looked at from other viewpoints, namely the 10 emotional states scale, the relationship model of the little circle, big circle, and equal circle, and the four driving needs of the ego expressing through our personalities. Think of the 10 emotional states scale as a vertical structure, like a ladder, with shame at the lowest state, the lowest rung, and peace at the highest. When you put your attention on an action that needs doing, if you feel your emotional state, you will know whether you are interiorizing or exteriorizing. Shame, apathy, grief, and fear are examples of the lower emotional states that are connected to interiorization for the purposes of hiding, avoiding, and self-protection. Fear, lust, anger, and pride are also lower emotional states but are examples of exteriorizing. Fear, grief, apathy, and shame are less causative than fear, lust, anger, and pride because they are turned inward. You could also say that fight or flight are related to fear, lust, anger, and pride, and shame, apathy, grief, and fear, respectively. Somebody with anger is going to be willing to fight. Somebody in apathy is not going to be willing. They may be more inclined to run away. Just think of withdrawing and reaching as variations of interiorizing and exteriorizing. In the relationship model, there are three positions, little circle, big circle, and equal circle. They each represent an attitude in relation to something or someone else. The little circle is the interiorized, frightened, less than orientation. It is prone to feeling like a victim who is too weak to meet his or her own needs. This interiorized state is normal for a very young child who does, in fact, need others to meet its needs. But this is a fear-based condition. The big circle is temporarily exteriorized state propelled most often by a combination of fear, lust, and anger. Sometimes pride is present too. The big circle is also fear-based. Typically, people bounce back and forth between little circle feelings and big circle feelings. One minute they feel like they can't do anything to meet their needs, and the next minute they feel powerful enough to resist others, on a whole lot of levels. It is easy enough to fall into the trap of believing that in order to stop yourself or others, you will need to resort to using anger. This can actually be helpful to stop a negative behavior that is harming you, however, particularly when you are the one that is directing the anger at you yourself for your behaviors. The equal circle is the most powerful and exteriorized condition. It is not less than, and it is not more than, as the little circle and big circle are, respectively. The equal circle is respect-based, not fear-based. It doesn't imagine problems to fight, either as the inferior little circle or the superior big circle. As a human, we're going to experience being in each of these circles on a regular basis. That's not the problem. We will want to be aware of which circles we are in, and the same with the people we're dealing with, and then seek the awareness that will allow us to elevate our feelings until we get up to the feeling that we are equal to whatever we have our attention on. When you think about how life works, you can appreciate that we can become interiorized by change, unfamiliar settings, uncertainty, surprises, criticism, etc. And in order to defend ourselves from the feelings we ourselves created through our imaginations, we tend to use anger of the big circle. And as our awareness increases, we will know that we are safe enough, capable enough, to be equal to whatever we're facing. That first reaction to unfamiliarity is often to interiorize. It's a survival strategy programmed into living beings. In the next movement, we tend to exteriorize as we receive more awareness about the unfamiliar situation. Then we can get instinctual by activating anger to fight with the situation, or our second choice would be to be more evolved by being equal to the situation. This second choice enables us to adjust our stance in order to remain equal. If you have ever danced the cha-cha, you have reenacted the process of interiorization and exteriorization, just for fun. One person advances and the other retreats, and then the roles are reversed. The second person advances and the first person retreats. And you add flourishes thrown in the dance for variety and to make it more fun. Not all processes start with interiorization. Learning and doing can work like this. We exteriorize and engage with the subject. That's the one we want to learn, so of course we reach out for it. We engage and then we pull back in order to digest our experience, figure out what we learned and what it means. Then, using that new information, that new knowledge, we may or may not adjust our actions, and then we re-engage again. We repeat this process until we either are satisfied or we decide not to continue. All learning basically follows these steps. The great variables are the emotions that are triggered during the process and how we react to them. If we are aware of how we typically react by interiorizing or exteriorizing and in which situations, we can become the master of our ego, our feelings, and our lives. We can make different choices instead of those that occur automatically. Think of your ego as an advisor who can be extreme in his or her views. The ego will tell you to defend yourself first and foremost. You have to defend and protect your ego's version of you, who you are, and how you should behave. The ego demands that you come in first in the race of life, no matter the opposition of others. Can you imagine this egoic pressure to be better than everyone else at everything all the time? The ego will be like a slave driver pushing you, scolding you, beating you to accomplish this impossible feat. Besides being better than everyone else, you must take the best for yourself all the time, every time. And once you take it, be it being money, status, power, family, friends, influence, property, etc., you must hold on to it all and not let others take it from you. And when you fail, you get beat up by your ego through your self-talk. The pain of failure drives you inside into a state of hurt. Your ego blames you, blames others, blames your parents, gods, that blames everything but the ego itself. And here's the worst part. You don't realize the ego is doing this to you. You think you are doing it to you. You can imagine as you listen and try to obey the ego, you have to exteriorize to push others aside, to grab what you want, and then prevent others from being and better than you and taking what you have acquired. One reason people interiorize is because they believe themselves capable of doing great harm to others. So to prevent themselves from doing, they pull in and stay interiorized. The egos of other people, of course, are driven by their egos, just like you and I are by ours. The conflict between people are really the conflicts between the ego of person A and the ego of person B. An accurate description of the argument that you and I could have would be, my ego disagrees with your ego, rather than, the real me disagrees with the real you. That is not what is happening. Remember what I said before about bouncing back and forth between the little circle and the big circle? The little circle condition could be, I can't do what the ego is telling me I should do. The big circle says, I'm going to do what the ego tells me I should do because I am more important than others. As you watch this back and forth, interiorizing, exteriorizing, interiorizing, exteriorizing, you are the observer. You're not the ping pong ball doing the bouncing between these two points of view established by the ego. Noticing what is going on gives you the awareness to master the ego and the processes of interiorization and exteriorization. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Better to be thinking of divine consciousness as the source rather than the ego that is saying it is the source of all of that. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.